am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that bears no fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already made clean by the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, he can do nothing. If a man does not abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This I command you, to love one another. Turn over to that.
Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I thank you that we can study your word and learn more about you through your word. I ask that you would speak to us this morning through this text, and that you would bring a message for us. In your name we pray, amen. John 15 is a quite familiar metaphor that Jesus uses to explain to us the relationship that he wants us to have with him. He uses many metaphors throughout his ministry, and I think most of us are familiar with this one. The metaphor of the vine and the branches, I think, is God's ultimate desire for our lives, to be in a relationship with him where we rely on him to sustain us every day. This concept comes from the very beginning when God created Adam and Eve. He created them in the garden and wanted them to rely on him for everything. Not themselves, but on God. I'd like to focus now on verse 4, where I'm using the NIV. It says, "Remain in me and I will remain in you." What does it mean for Jesus to remain in us? Jesus remains in us through the Holy Spirit, whom he sent to guide us. This is what he promised right before he left, and this is the Spirit is with us now until he returns. Jesus builds his kingdom among us and through us. We see this when people come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. Their lives are transformed. This happened in the New Testament when Jesus ministered to people, and this happens today as well. It happened to me when I came to know Jesus. And I'm sure it happened to many of you as well. We're not the same people that we were before we knew Jesus. When we come to know Jesus, our lives are transformed. When Jesus dwells in us and we accept him as our Savior, we are born again, referring to the conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus. We are grafted into the vine, which is Jesus, and now we rely on him for our life, our energy, and our guidance. We are new people. How do we remain in Jesus? The first most important thing, I think, is studying the Bible. This is what we have to to understand who God is. This is God's word that He's given us for that purpose. And you know, if we're not studying the Bible, I think it's difficult to really understand who God is, because this is the method that He gave us to do that. The second thing is prayer. Communication and spending time with someone is how we build relationships. Those of us who are married, or maybe I should say those of you who are married, know this very well. If you're not communicating or spending time with your spouse, the relationship suffers. That is also relevant for those of us who aren't married. With friends, if you don't see a friend for a very long time and you're not talking to them, the relationship suffers. The third thing is fellowshipping with other Christians. There's something holy when Christians come together and meet, like we're doing this morning. Jesus and the Spirit are there. Jesus and the Spirit are here this morning when we meet. Spending time ministering to non-Christians is also a way that we remain in Jesus. This is what Jesus did when He was here on the earth. He spent time both with believers, Jews at the time, but people who followed Him. But He also spent a great deal of time among people who were sinners. Doing what Jesus commanded is also very important as Christians. In verse 12, Jesus says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." In a different place He says, the entire scriptures are summed up in love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. By doing these things, we remain in Jesus, and Jesus remains in us. We are Christians, which means little Christ, and others will see Jesus in us when we remain in Him and He remains in us. Verse 8, it says, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." When we're transformed by Jesus in our lives, others will see that and see Him in us. And this happens when we remain in Him. Now back to the vine and the branches metaphor. Jesus is the vine, God is the gardener, and we are the branches, as it says in verse 1. What is the job of the gardener, which is God? It says pruning. This is what God does. There are two types of pruning that is mentioned here. The first one is that the branches bearing no fruit get cut off and thrown away. I think this is referring to perhaps areas in our lives that don't bear fruit, or individuals who intentionally turn their backs on God are cut off from the vine. Those branches who are in the vine, and that are bearing fruit, are pruned so that they bear more fruit. So either way here, you're getting pruned. But if you're bearing fruit, it's for the better. What does it mean to bear fruit? Does bearing fruit mean having a 3-digit attendance and having a building expansion project in progress? Does it mean having a large multi-million-dollar building, a paid staff of 20, and so many ministry programs that it takes pages to list them? Does bearing fruit mean having a large children's program? Should these things be the things that we're striving for in order to be fruitful? I don't think that this is what Jesus was referring to when He talked about being fruitful. Jesus Himself did none of these things, except for the large numbers one. A couple of times when he preached, there were quite a few people that followed. But His immediate followers were rather few in number. Paul helps us understand what Jesus meant when he talked about fruit in Galatians 5:22. You don't have to turn there. It's a familiar verse listing the fruits of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the things that we should strive for. But how do we get these fruits to be produced in our lives? We must be in the vine. Jesus. An interesting thought. This sort of goes along with the chicken and the egg dilemma, which came first. We're cut off from the vine if we don't produce fruit, but we produce fruit by being attached to the vine. If our source of life and energy is Jesus, the same way that a branch's source of life and energy is the vine, then we can't not produce fruit. Here's where the metaphor breaks down, however. we have a choice whether or not to allow the gardener to use us to produce fruit. If we do not allow ourselves to be used, no fruit will be produced and will be worthless. To allow the gardener to use us involves surrendering ourselves to him. When we do this, the gardener will do what gardeners do. He'll prune us. He'll drench us with water and give us fertilizer. He'll set us on the back porch in the sun. Some days it might be cold on the back porch, but we'll eventually produce fruit. What I'm saying is that it won't be easy. And it might not be what we had in mind. God's plan is so much better than what we can imagine, but we must submit ourselves to it. We must allow ourselves to be grafted into the vine and draw our life and energy and guidance only from Jesus. We have to trust him. He won't lead us astray. In all the metaphors that Jesus used in the New Testament, the sheep and the shepherd, the branches and the gardener, the shepherd, the gardener, wants what he is tending to prosper. But he wants us to prosper in his way, not in our way. Those who have more experience in life will often tell us that our idea of prospering really isn't prospering in the end. God's prosperity and the fruit that God wants us to produce are truly good and much better than ours anyway. This makes sense why it's important to surrender ourselves to God. The fruit isn't for us anyway. In verse 8 it says, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit." The fruit is for God, not for us. I think oftentimes we don't allow ourselves to be used by God, or we say, "No, God, we want to do it our way." And then fruit is not produced, and we wonder why. We need to allow God to work in our lives, and then the fruit will come. So, I encourage each of you to surrender yourselves to God so that he can use you to produce the fruit that he desires. Too often we want to do things our way. Like I said, no fruit is produced. But when we listen to God and not our own selfish desires, then fruit comes. And when we remember that the fruit is for God's glory and not for us, that brings joy to me. Verse 16, it says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." God chose us and won't give up on us. There's hope. The result of trusting him and allowing him to work through us is lasting fruit that will bring glory to him, which is much better than the temporary fruit that we desire for ourselves. I believe that as we say, "Yes, Lord, use me and make me fruitful in the way that you want me to be fruitful," we will see an abundance of fruit, a harvest beyond what we could imagine. This is my prayer for us as a church. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you that you are the vine and we are the branches, and that we can rely on you to give us life and energy and guidance as we live for you. I ask that you would pour out your spirit here and guide this church in the months to come, that we would rely only on you and that much fruit would come here. In your name we pray. Amen.